Okay, I'm back now, so I guess I'll go ahead and tell you what I do for a living around here. I do that basically the same thing I did in Long Bend when I was down there. I run a TOC during my shift, except I don't have the liaison officer name on this. They actually have a slot here for me, so they don't have to make one up. And I'm one of the operations officers for 11th Group. And what I do is basically the same as I did down there. I coordinate between the units and my higher headquarters. And instead of being at battalion level, I'm now at group level, and my smaller units, instead of being companies, are now battalions. And instead of my higher being a group, my higher now is a corps. And a corps is very large. Corps is the headquarters that runs a whole area of Vietnam, and this particular corps headquarters has the two American units that are left in I Corps, as 101st Airborne and the AmeriCal Division. Plus, we have an area of operation here that is covered by neither, that the 11th Group supports, the Arvins and the Koreans, and the 196th Light Infantry Brigade, which is actually part of the AmeriCal, but we support it with our aircraft instead of the AmeriCal supporting it with their aircraft. So Corps is a very large outfit, and underneath us we have two battalions. One of the battalions has one assault helicopter company in it, one Chinook company, and two reconnaissance airplane companies, which is a Bird Dog, a fixed-wing company, one surveillance airplane company, which is a Mohawk company, and one Corps aviation company, which is a VIP company. All they do is have aircraft that they use for VIPs. They've got Hueys, Jet Rangers, and U-21 fixed-wing aircraft. And the other battalion has two assault helicopter companies in it and one Chinook company. It's a much smaller battalion. The one Chinook company is the company I was in before, the 179th, which are still up at Eagle, by the way. So that's the breakdown. And instead of being at one of the battalions, I'm now at group and I operate the battalions. We get all of our missions from Corps headquarters and we pass them on to the battalions and we monitor them during the day to make sure they get complete. And if any troubles arise and so on and so forth, we take care of it. So that's basically our job. We also take care of emergencies in an administrative sort of way. When an aircraft goes down or something out in the AO, we make arrangements for a rescue, search and rescue. We make arrangements for recovery of the aircraft, medevac, etc., etc. We also, being open 24 hours a day, we handle the alerts for Marble Mountain Army Airfield, which our commander is actually the post commander also. And if they have a rocket attack or a ground attack someplace on the airfield, which is very large, it's a very large post, which many miles from where I may be, I'm the one that sounds the siren and makes everybody go to their bunkers and then coordinates aircraft support, you know, gunships and so on and so forth for the attack if necessary. So that's basically what I do. I'm underground. I've got my bunker and the walls are very, very thick. And I've got radios, and I've got a big board up in front of me that glows. It's got all the missions on it. And that's what I do. I answer the phone a lot. I also brief the shift I got right now, which is midnight until 10 in the morning, 10-hour shift. I also brief the colonel, which is the commanding officer of the 11th Group. I brief him on the missions for that day and any significant actions or so on for the day before, which is the same thing I did down at battalion. I briefed our battalion commander also. So nothing's really changed. I live in a Quonset hut, like I said before. It's supposed to be air-conditioned. It's not now. I have a real nice club here. We've got handball courts here, tennis courts. I have a weight room, but I haven't been down to the weight room yet. And all the comforts of home. We don't have any dust. So I've got a lot of sand, but no dust. I live right on the beach, and I use the beach quite frequently. Most of the pictures in a second. Had a truck go by out there. I don't know if it was making more noise than I was or not. But when I get off work at 10 in the morning, I usually trot on down to the beach and lay in the sun a while and go swimming in the ocean. The ocean water, you can't believe how warm it is. It's every bit as warm as it is in Florida, if not warmer. And clear, crystal clear water, it's beautiful. I go swimming out on the beach and go out in the ocean, come back and sun a while, listen to the radio, get burned on both sides and come back in. Get dressed, go to lunch, come back and try to get some rack time until dinner time or you know, later in the evening. And I haven't been successful at doing that. I've worked many, many different shifts in the last couple of weeks getting kind of ready to take on the job permanently, which I'm ready now. And when I first got here, I learned the night shift. I was on this shift before. And then once I spent 3 nights at that, I moved to the day shift, which is from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until midnight. And spent, I guess, about a week on that shift. And then I went to Corps headquarters, where they have their TOC there also. And I spent 2 days down in their TOC for them to show me how the Corps operates their missions in their TOC, which helps me operate my own job at the next lower level. Since I've already had my battalion experience, I don't have to go down to the battalion to see how they run. I already know how they run. So now I know how they run above me and below me and the same place I am, so I should be able to do my job real well. Right now, while I'm on a night shift, the other new guy that started the same job as I am is now at Corps headquarters. He and I have changed shifts, and he's at Corps now, where I was at Corps. He'll be there tomorrow also, and that should be his last day. And then I'll be taking, then we'll both be super experienced, and everybody else can go home, and we'll take over the TOC by ourselves. And he likes the shift that I've got right now, this midnight till 10 in the morning, and I don't like it because I don't get any sleep hardly. It's kind of hard to sleep during the day when it's so hot when the air conditioner broke down. So I like the swing shift better. And so when he gets back from Corps, he'll be taking this night shift, and I'll be taking a swing shift again. And that way I work from 2 till midnight, get a night's sleep until about, 8, 9 in the morning, and get up, and I still have the day to go to the PX or go screw around and get some sun and everything else and still go to work at 2 o'clock. So I get to sleep at night and get to have the day off, too, because I work late in the afternoon and early in the evening, until midnight. So that's the way the job works out right now. It's a real good job. People, I guess, are pretty good to work for. It's a real good experience for my, my career type if I decide to do that. Now, speaking of careers, I thought I'll bring you up to date on two different things, one to do with the career, which is school, and the other to do with R&R, so that won't, won't be any more hesitation or anticipation about the R&R. Okay, number one, the school. All right, 3 months after you get in country, you're supposed to send in what we call a dream sheet. It's actually officially called an officer's assignment preference statement, telling the Department of the Army where you'd like to be assigned after you get back from Vietnam. Well, I've been kind of putting off sending this to DA until a couple of days ago, hopefully waiting until I can get my stuff squared away on the school, and then instead of sending the preference sheet, I'd go ahead and send my application for Bootstrap or College Degree Policing Program. Well, anyway, this move here has screwed up my mail system as far as goes. Now, you're mailing your stuff direct to me, but if it goes to the 179th, it takes another 20 days or so to get to me. So I haven't got the acceptance from Embry-Riddle yet, and whether I'm even get it or not, I don't know, but I haven't got anything in the mail that would indicate one way or the other. And I've found out a few new things on the College Degree Completion Program as far as Department of the Army policies go on it. And as you know, I've told you this before, they don't like to go ahead and send you that for 2 years. They like to send you for a year or less. That's number one. And it'll probably take over a year for me to finish. So I've got that against me. Number two, they don't like to send you to the degree completion program until you finish the career course, which is at Fort Benning. And that's against me because I haven't finished the career course. I haven't even started it. And number three, it's so late. And I've been working all this time to get everything together, and it's taken so long since I'm so far away to get all of my materials together and get the application taken care of that here I am still waiting on it. So when I do get the application, it'll be awful late. And the reason it's late, okay, I've got 5 months left to go in country. You think that's plenty of time, but it's really not. After you get 6 months left to go in country, Department of the Army considers you eligible for reassignment. So they get your records out, and they tentatively decide where they're going to send you. In your records is this dream sheet that you send them when you've been in country 3 months, and it tells you where you want to go. So here, already the Department of the Army is contemplating where they're going to send me, and I haven't sent them either a dream sheet or any idea of what I want to do. So the other day, I went ahead and sent them a dream sheet indicating I wanted to be stationed on the West Coast, which is, my preferences. That's all I indicate. I indicated Fort MacArthur, Fort Lewis, and Fort Ord. I don't remember which order, but I believe Fort Lewis was first, Fort Ord second, and Fort MacArthur last. All right, now, I probably won't get sent either one of those three places either. I'll probably be sent to the career course at Fort Benning. And then after the career course, if I get some college credits in the career course, plus maybe a little extra credits on the side at Columbus College or something like that. And then I'll probably be able to finish Emory Riddle in less than a year, and they'll probably let me go at that time, if they don't let me go when I leave Vietnam. So I am not counting too heavily on going to Bootstrap after I get out of Vietnam. And I'm not sure whether I want to go to the career course or not. If they go to the career course, I have another year's obligation. And I don't want a year's obligation without an education, so I'll be, competitive with the rest of the captains in the Army. But anyway, the way it goes now is that I haven't got my application in for Bootstrap yet because of the lateness, and I haven't got it back from DA, number one. Number two, I put my preference sheet in for the West Coast, and number three, and Department of the Army will probably send me to Fort Benning to go to the career course, which is a 9-month PCS to Fort Benning, which is probably what will happen. However, of course, I can't tell until I get orders. I'll be getting orders approximately anywhere from 60 to 90 days if everything works out prior to DROS. So just after I get back from R&R, another 15 days or so, I should have orders telling me where my next duty station is going to be, and then we'll know. So I'm not counting too heavily on going to school. I'm just more or less playing it by ear and seeing what's going to happen. But if I don't get to school after Vietnam, I'm going to do everything possible to get it after the whatever, or while I'm at my next duty station. So anyway, I wouldn't count on it too much. All right, now R&R. Okay, I've put in for R&R on the 8th of August, and I'll get R&R on the 8th of August if I get it at all, when the allotments come down. I'm fairly senior by that time. I'll have over 8 months. I'll be working on my 9th month in country. So I'll be senior enough to get the R&R. So all it amounts to is waiting on orders. So you can count on going on R&R around the 8th of August. And when I get orders, I'll send them to you so that you can get your tickets and your discount and everything. And at that time, you can get all the arrangements made. Now, you've got several openings. The way I understand, I've never been on R&R before, to Hawaii. So I understand that you can meet me when I get there, and if you get there a day early or something like that, you get your own room and board at one of the hotels, wherever you want to stay, and meet me out at Fort DeRussy when you hear my plane come in. I'll be able to give you, you'll have the flight number and everything on the orders, on the R&R orders, so you'll know when I'm due. Or you can leave word at the airport on the airlines that you use, counter, because you'll tell me which airlines that you use, where you'll be, and as soon as I get through processing, I'm not sure there is even any processing, I might be able to leave directly from the airport, and I'll meet you at the room that you have already selected. Or you can meet me at Fort DeRussy, and together we can decide where we want to go, and so on and so forth, although it'll be a lot more difficult that way for you, because there's no way we're both going to be able to get there at exactly the same time, so you're going to have to either get there after I get there before, and I prefer that you get there before. So you're going to have to kind of take care of yourself until I do get there. And when I send you the orders, you'll know when I'll be there. You'll be able to get your tickets, and you'll be able to make some sort of plans on what you want to do to meet me. But like I said, I'm kind of want to get off on another island possibly and get into a secluded area in a hotel and kind of dig myself and ourselves on the beach and so on and so forth. Maybe rent a car and drive around, see the sights or whatever. But I'm not really trying to save money or anything like that. I just don't feel like going out and seeing how much money I can spend and how much I can drink and how much partying I can do. I don't really care to party all that much. However, if you want to party, I'm all for it. But once in a while, we'll go out and have a real good dinner in Honolulu or something like that. I'd like to do that a lot too. So we'll have to play it by ear. But as soon as I get my orders, the very same day I get them, I'll have them in the mail to you, for enough for you to get your tickets and so on and so forth. So looks like I'm kind of getting short of tape here, not too much. So that's it. And I can't think of anything else right offhand, except I'm going to go ahead and write you another tape as soon as I get one, and I'll call you tonight. So, I'm kind of running out of things to say, and I guess I'll get kind of mushy now. Did I ever tell you how much I love you, sweetheart? I was kind of kidding then, but I really love you. I really do. And R&R is going to be more than just seeing each other again. It's going to be a reunion of heart and soul and bodies and the whole bit. And the things I've been, you know, I can hug you in my dreams, and I can think about how it was and everything else. And it's not bad, but it's not the best. It's not like the real thing. And together, we'll be back together again, and we'll be able to dig on each other, and to just enjoy what love is all about. And until then, I'm just going to sit back and just think about it. I love you so much, sweetheart. And the whole reason of my being able to cope with things as well as I have is just the thought of being with you first, second week in August. And tape is running short, so I will say I love you. And I'll give you a couple big kisses, and I'll see you soon. Okay, sweetheart? Bye.